Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, yes, man. Sir.
Anthony in the house. How you doing?
I'm good, bro. How you doing today?
I'm good, man. I am good.
Looking good.
Sorry,
feeling
sorry
good.
About that. Bumps and juggling some microphones. Feeling good. Yeah, man. Motivated. Motivated-ish. Inspired-ish.
Motivated-ish.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
You know, you're not fully there, but you're there. Like, there's more.
I'm
on the cusp of motivation. I'm trying, though. I sent you that picture this morning. Yeah. Where I was.
It was beautiful.
It looks so much nicer. I mean, it's nice, but, like, when you see a beach-ish backdrop, you have a different picture in your mind. You're thinking tropical, and then it's still nice, right. But water, you can't even put your pinky toe in, or else it might fall off, so... There's that.
What waterfront is that?
Lake Ontario.
Yeah.
The former.
I've seen people swimming in that recently.
Yeah, I mean, does it depend where you are, like city-wise? Because there are some, I guess it goes on that level. They have that level of, I don't know if it's based on how clean the water is.
Toxicity.
Yeah.
Really, just how nasty the water is.
Yeah, I guess that's just the only way to say it. So some cities, it seems like they declare it safe enough to swim in, and others at your own risk, I suppose.
What's weird is that, like, in the summer, it'll be on and off. Like, sometimes it'll be safe, and then other nights you'll see the sign up that says don't swim in.
Yeah, and then you're like, what's the difference between last week and this week? That means it's like
exactly.
Too bad, man. I know Lake Ontario used to be flourishing and filled with, like, salmon and fishing was great before our time. Yeah. But I did read that back in the day people would go on a boat and they could come home with like pounds and pounds of salmon. Would have been
We ruined the water.
That would have been, imagine that, like early morning you just go out on a boat or just sit at the shoreline on a rock and catch some fish for lunch.
There's something so peaceful and like calming about just
fishing.
Hearing water.
Yeah, like the whole experience. Cause
even fishing.
Yeah, fishing is beautiful, but just sitting by the water, and that's like, I'm just trying to get back to some of the things that I've always loved and maybe don't make enough time for. So starting off a few days that way. But yeah, just sitting there by the water, standing, walking, whatever it is. Even if you can't get in the water, it still just has that. It's just
calming
serene.
Effects,
it just helps
sure.
you to focus and. Yeah, it's beautiful, man. So, and then add fishing to that, and you got yourself a mighty fine time.
Yeah, fishing is one of those things I thought I didn't really understand until I actually did it, and then I got it. I like being on the water.
You just
and catching a fish
there.
Is exhilarating.
It is. But even not catching one, it's just like sometimes I don't even want to catch a fish because it's gonna ruin the peace.
Right.
You got to get to work.
Be out on the water.
Yeah. It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful, man. Did we even introduce ourselves here? I don't even know. I got right into that.
If they don't know by now, they're never going to know. That's my feeling. It's been so many episodes.
That's so true, yeah.
If they
yeah.
don't know the names.
If you've been listening, then you should know. And if you don't,
right. But if you're not, I am Dariki, and this is Anthony. There you go. Bing, bong.
Yeah, bada boom. And this is what we do, the DNA Airwaves Podcast. And we just talk about things. We talk about music things. Actually, I don't know. I should have asked you before we started because I know you'd mentioned when we talked earlier this week that you had some things. Am I on the hot seat today or is that another day?
No, I do have some just like questions that I'm always curious to ask you.
Oh, okay.
And I use
should
these
I be nervous?
Opportunities to have those.
Where I can't
no,
run away?
Not at all. Not at all. You can't run away, but you shouldn't be nervous.
Trembling.
How was your weekend, though? Did you have a good weekend?
Oh, fair start. We see we're going to ease into it. Yeah, weekend was good, man. It was an unusually quiet weekend, so I just spent a lot of time around the house. That was it. What about yours?
I worked most of the weekend, and then there was my aunt's 59th birthday, so we kind of got together and celebrated.
Such a weird number to hear, huh, when you, like, celebrating. I mean, why, though? You should celebrate every birthday and every day, but... You can tend to keep it to the big numbers.
Right.
Divisible by 10, usually.
Yeah, even then I don't really celebrate. Like, those ones, I think the next big one...
For you?
I don't know if I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know if I want to
say. Yeah, just divisible by 10, they all are. Unless 25 and 16, and then after that, I guess it's the decades.
I think 65 is also because it's a retirement age that tends to be celebrated.
That's true. Yeah. And then after that, you celebrate every day because...
Exactly.
Yo, it's I watched this documentary on Netflix, The Centurions. Have you watched this?
No.
It has... And I don't want to say it changed my life because sometimes you just need a... We know so much and we're so just... Mm-hmm. Almost just so used to hearing and knowing what we know. Sometimes it takes just a little reminder of like some of the simple things that you forget are so important in life. There's this documentary on Netflix. I don't even know what it's called, but it's about people... blue zones, and those are cities or areas.
I have
seen it. Okay, where people live to be older, and 100 and up is more common than anywhere else in the world. And man, this thing just got me thinking. And then I watched another one. I watched like 15 minutes of another series, but it's just health related too. And it's just those little reminders of like these people are living longer for such, according to what they say, just like simple things like. That sense of community, just really watching what goes into your body and into your mind, right. Walking. Yes. Walking's like, it's
number one
compared to our lifestyles of sitting around. Like we should be on a treadmill doing this podcast right now, just to
maybe next
just
one
to
we'll
keep
do
that
it.
Motion
we'll
going. But yeah,
put
man,
lav mics on and we'll just walk and walk and talk.
I don't have a treadmill. It's the only, but I guess you don't need it. And that's look how stupid I am too. As if you need a treadmill to walk.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But that's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So what did you get out of that documentary? Cuz it's always interesting to me how for the most part we have this weird idea of living a great life or a long happy life in North America, and when you look at some of these blue zones, they don't live anywhere near in terms of just like what they have and the access to things that we have over here. They don't seem to have any of that. And I think one of the things I wanted to mention that you mentioned about a long life, I feel service to others also helps.
True.
And purpose.
Purpose is like big.
Having a purpose is really important. And you notice that when people stop working and they feel that they don't have a sense of purpose, especially in this, like say you worked in a factory for your whole life. You're used to getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, grinding. Once you lose that, I said people you can tell start to deteriorate mentally.
It's true.
Which then overlaps into their physical, and I've seen that happen a lot when people lose that sense of purpose.
Yeah,
they really lose their will to live. Essentially,
it's true. It's just you're stuck in this routine of what has to happen, and you can't really change it. Like when you are stuck in that pattern, it's not like you have the flexibility to be like, you know, I'm done with this. I'm going to try something else now, because you've already established like this is you're depending on it. So now that it doesn't even have to be a factory. Could it be a great job that you hate, but now it owns you, right? But I mean, that's the big thing. So that sense of service and purpose is really big. And I think sometimes we make the purpose too big. Like just sitting down and having a meal weekly or daily with your family and some friends and like purposefully doing those things, I think does a lot. Like we're thinking, oh, I got to change the world. I have to change the music industry. I have to whatever. And it's just like, man, we could just simplify so much and live a more fulfilled life.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah. Like even myself as an example, I think I might've mentioned this recently actually, but just even with music, I used to play so much and I loved it. But as I started to like scale and like do more with the business, I started putting the business ahead of the music as far as like my own music creativity and just as an outlet goes. And when you look back over time, you're like, you could feel when there's a void. And it's like those little things. I mean, that was a big part of my purpose, you know, playing music and just that expression for me was so big. So now I've minimized it and put more time into other things. And now I'm like, now I have to sort of backtrack and find a balance there because... Yeah, without it, you're just, it's almost the same thing. I'm stuck in this rabbit race of like, what's next? How do I make this better? How do I make this bigger? And just skipping over the one thing that got me into this whole space in the first place, playing music. Right. I barely do it. I thought playing at church was good enough for me, but then that's like, now I've put that into a box too. A couple times a week I play, the rest of the time I'm doing all this other stuff. And it's like, just simplify.
Yeah, you nailed it. I think simplification and just balance. Like, obviously, you want to grow your business.
Yeah.
But you got to make time for the things you actually enjoy doing in life.
And very true.
And you're able to identify. Some people, sadly, aren't able to identify those things.
You know? That's true.
What are some of those things?
It gets covered up, though, because you get, like, the whole thing with busyness is just, it overtakes your life. You know, you've had this, I'm sure, maybe depending on the duration, like you could say a year went by and you're like, what the heck did I even do? Or what am I doing different now than I was a year ago?
Right.
And maybe you don't need to be, but if you're just stuck in this chasing this and keeping up with that, then it just feels like we're throwing time away. So take a minute just to think about that.
Yeah, I've had to let go of that trying to keep up stuff. You know, that I let go of that a long time ago.
I just thought
it was a futile experience to impress people that I don't care about and probably don't care about me.
I know, that's the thing, right?
Coming to that realization that, like, I don't want to impress anybody but myself.
Yep.
And, like, my parents and my wife. That's keep pretty it simple. Much it. And I think we do get caught up in, and we've talked about it many times, all of the distractions and all of the things that we see around us. Sometimes people tend to harp on that and look at their lives and compare to what they don't have. And I think that one of the biggest mistakes we make is worrying about the things we don't have or the things we want instead of appreciating the things we do actually have.
Yeah.
And over the last couple of years, specifically just after COVID, I've really had to just purposefully take in the things that I'm grateful for in my life currently, not the things I want.
Sure.
Because I definitely still want more, and I definitely still want to achieve or go after more. But at the same time, I have to make a purposeful, determination to consistently look at the things I have and be grateful for, because
that's
I know
huge,
a lot of people don't have some of the things that I have.
Yeah.
So, and I really do enjoy some of the simple things, like my backyard, for example.
Exactly, yeah. Like,
just silly, silly things. A great partner, you know, vehicle, you know, just the things that a lot of people take for granted. I try not to do that anymore and really be happy. And it's definitely put a lot of peace in my heart. And simplifying
that's big.
You know, the things that really matter, like really honing in on some of those connections.
Yeah.
Specifically with my wife and my family.
Yep.
Just really purposefully trying to hone in on those and just be present in those moments with those people matters a lot. And I'm sure you have the similar experience as well. But
it's true, man.
Being grateful is really, really important.
Yeah, just the present moment. I guess that's another part of this whole thing. It's just, like you said, just being there, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, there's pressure to be doing so many things at once. And most of it's self-imposed, I think.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of deadlines that are fake. There's a lot of things that have to be done now that don't. And it's just, like, constantly multitasking. Like, obvious ones, and some of them are rude. Some of them are just not very wise. But texting and driving, doing anything any two things at the same time. It's like you're in a meeting, but you're talking to someone else on your phone, like texting or emailing.
Yeah.
It's just all those little things. Like, just be here. Just enjoy this time.
Being present. And I think with those little stupid devices that we have now, it's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
I think they purposely try to distract. And now you have, luckily, I'm sure they have them on other phones, but on the iPhone specifically, they have settings where you can kind of just block out notifications, even for a time period, whether it's during sleep. You can set it to focus, so only the important, not messages, but phone calls will come through. And that's
just minimize,
very helpful to someone like me that can be easily distracted. Because even when you're watching a TV show, and nothing will go off on the phone, and you'll be reaching for the phone for no reason. And that, to me, is a big, big problem.
Yeah.
Big problem.
You have to set up, like, these buffers. Well, that's what I do, I should say. So, obviously, you can't reach for something that's not close enough to reach for. So, little things like that I'll do. I try to typically, unless I know that I'm expecting a call or a text, and I apologize to anyone who texts me typically after, like, 6:37, because there's a good chance I won't get back to you, or it will be hours later, because I might look at it again at some point. But my typical pattern is once work's done, and a few calls, you know, I might call you at the end of the day sometimes, just say what's up or something, but I try to leave my phone in my office from like the minute I'm done my last work call and maybe talk to a couple friends or family. And then that's it. And I try to leave it there until the next morning. I shouldn't even say try. That's just what I do.
It's so smart. I don't know why there's this like anxious feeling I have when I'm too far from my phone.
Because you're just so used to it being there. Yeah. And it does so much. Yeah. You're connected to everybody all at once. You could see what everyone's doing. Really? You could reach anybody. If there's anything that FOMO, anyone could reach you at any time. There might be that, the big deal is about to come in or whatever, right? Or then the fear stuff, like someone might need me, and that stuff is fair enough.
I think that one is what lingers in me.
Yeah, like I say, that's a fair fear, understandable fear, of just like, because it is a scary thought. Like you go for a hike, you don't have your phone for 3 hours, you come back, and there's bad news.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't be a dominating thought, and it's happened. Yeah, right. It's happened to me too.
I think that's the problem. I think it's because I've experienced that moment.
Yeah.
I wasn't around my phone when serious a really bad situation happened.
Right.
And I wasn't there in the moment to kind of help or receive the call.
Yeah.
To kind of, take action. But it's, I think that PTSD is what
it's a real thing, man. It really is. Yeah.
There's other people in your life that also feel worried
when they can't be able to reach you real quick. And we went through that. Yeah. We talked about it too. Everybody was pissed off at me. It wasn't that long. It seems crazy, but it was like 10 weeks or something. It was a full summer with no phone, unless I was in my home. And people were angry because it is inconvenient for other people who are used to being able to say, I'm 10 minutes late, or can you meet me at 6? Right. And now it's like, well, if you're not home, old school. But man, it felt good. Holy crap, it felt good.
I was just going to ask you, it must have felt amazing.
Yo, I would leave my house and I even drove to meet you at the cottage, and that was like no GPS or nothing, right? And it was like 3 hours away, and usually you're just following the thing. So I kind of wrote out the key turns, and I was like, that's it. I second-guessed myself once, and I stopped for coffee and went back on track. But but that feeling of, first of all, something happens to me. This isn't going to be good. Like, what am I going to be walking miles and hitchhiking to get? So that in the back of your mind is a little bit scary. And then also, of course, now being away for 3 days where I'm not going to be home in the whatever part of the day to get these phone calls and emails if something happens. But then on the flip side, you remember you're going to be, as long as you're not alone, you're around people. So if there's an emergency, key people will know how to reach you. And that's kind of, that's where I found the comfort in that. Right,
I take solace in being bored again too. So sometimes I'll purposely, if I'm in a moment where there's like a lull, like for example, just at work before a show, you have like a couple hours of just downtime, everything's set up, ready to go, sound check's done, and you're just sitting there, and everybody around me is on their phone. I just purposely just like let my mind wander, and I think that's been missing out
great.
A lot of people's
lives.
And I worry that there's a programming or deprogramming happening as a result of people not letting their minds wander.
It's so true.
Instantly going to their phone the moment they have, that feeling of boredom, quote unquote, or just they don't know what to do with themselves.
That's a powerful one you just hit on there, man. That's huge. And isn't it strange that they didn't mention anything about cell phones in the documentary?
Yeah, I found that very fascinating.
That's interesting.
Nailed it on the head that they're important. I don't want to diminish their importance, but like you did, like we used to have house phones and people used to live wonderful lives without being connected to their
phone. I feel like better lives because you would show up and now it's like, oh, who's at my door? Oh, it better be Amazon.
Right.
It's like people would just knock at your door, and even if you weren't up for company, it's just like you accepted a friendly face. No one's coming by to like slap you or anything weird. Like people are coming by and it's all love, and that seemed like that was a sense of community where like you were connected to actual people, and your words were never really misunderstood because you could explain it in real time and people heard the tone. So there's so much that comes from it. Yeah, we keep in touch. We text every day, but that's like, you're texting while you're, doing 10 other things usually. So are you really connected to that person? There's just so much that we've lost from it. But what's the bright side? We're just harping on cell phones. Stay connected.
I don't know what the bright side is. Yeah, I guess it's just that stay.
Or you said the boredom, right? So I guess it's just, and that's a strange sensation too, because you're so used to being like stimulated by content and everything else. Being bored suddenly seems like it's the end of the world.
Painful.
Yeah, and like as when we were kids, like I want to go back to all the things we did when we were kids, like just how we, I guess, kind of accepted certain things. Like that boredom led to creativity. You'd make up a game, or start a game of something, or you would have a new hobby all of a sudden. Like that boredom is key to creativity, I think, or at least to just letting yourself get to know yourself.
Right. Independent thought and just being with yourself.
Independent thought. That's huge. Yeah. Because there's no outside influence. When you're just thinking, your mind goes and you just let it wander sometimes. And that's beautiful to me. So yeah, I'm with you. I try to create those moments too. I was actually talking to my mom about that, just taking a vacation, not being on the resort, like doing a guest house or something. And that was a part of it. So you could actually just be bored sometimes. I was like, nothing could be better. Bless you. We will not edit that out because this is real life. People sneeze.
That's how it goes.
What could be better than being away in a tropical or whatever environment, awake, disconnected, because that's the whole purpose, and then just sometimes be bored. Like you're just there, just existing.
Just existing.
Getting familiar with your mind and yourself. And that's what meditation is, right? Becoming familiar with yourself, so, or whatever the thing is meditating on, whatever you are meditating on. So in this case, if you're just bored, you're just getting to know yourself. Your thoughts are processing themselves, because it's not like you have to consciously think about what you're thinking.
Right, it just happens.
So just let it happen sometimes. You want to take a pause and just drop our phones in the toilet and come back?
Sure.
Coward.
Oh, why does that word hurt my heart?
It does, right? There's certain words, some of them we can't say anymore, but there's certain words that just like pierce you. They feel so soft. You'll read them in old books, but when someone calls you a coward, it's like the double dare or whatever that thing was we used to do. Triple dog dare or something like that.
Triple dog dare. Doggish dog.
Yeah,
that's so funny. But independent thought is so important in connecting with yourself. But you're so worried about connecting with everyone else.
Yeah.
That's what this phone does. We lose that connection to ourselves.
Yeah.
And you know what I notice now, even in interactions, when people do try to have those like non-phone interactions with you, that you can, they're instantly asking you about something they saw on their phone, or they're talking about something they heard or seen on their phone.
That's so true.
What are we doing? You know, like,
it got deep. It's gone far. Everything is there. Dang.
It's mind blowing. But I wanted to ask you a question in regards to just, because you're very disciplined, and that's one thing I do really admire about you, is just how you're able to have a goal, be driven to see that goal to the end, no matter how hard. And I've gone through some difficult times over the last couple of years, but like, what are some of your ways of maintaining your discipline during difficult times? Because for me, if I'm being honest, sometimes when difficult times happen, I go off the rails and everything kind of just, you know, gets scattered and it becomes a mess, and it takes me a long time to get
bounce back.
So are there anything that you do that really helps you
thinking
in those difficult times?
I feel like the main thing that I kind of do is just set things up in a way that it'll be simple. So I think habits and patterns for me are key.
Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, I'm just thinking of an example. I'm trying to use one that I don't use typically, but I guess music. Let's just use exercise. I think that's something that everyone struggles with on and off at some level, or nutrition. So just establishing a pattern that, say, you're going to go to the gym or you're going to go for a walk or whatever that thing is, and just doing that. So non-negotiable is what that would be. So I have these habits that I do, and it's not dependent on how I feel. If I got enough sleep, which is not necessarily good, I'm not advising that, but the point is nothing gets in the way of it. And if nothing gets in the way of it for long enough, then it becomes just second nature. So I think a lot of my life, I try to just set up that way as these are things that have to be done. Let's just say whatever it is, you have a to-do list in your head versus one that you write out every morning or the night before. And those items on that list, if you honor it, become non-negotiable or at least prioritized in a way that makes sense to whatever your goal is or progress. And that's kind of how I think about everything. So I have them, I'll have the overall goal, the big picture. And a lot of times you help me, like you'll give me a goal that I hadn't thought of or I didn't even really want. And I'll take it on. And then we talk about how to get to it. And it's not just like, all right, well, now we're going to be at the finish line. It's going to be like step by step and it evolves. But the commitment to honoring the process that it's going to take to get there is somehow the part that I enjoy. And I know a lot of people hate that. I don't want to say grind, but it is a grind because there's a lot of friction. Like you'll take 2 steps forward and then you get kicked 10 backwards and you have to get back up and keep going. So I guess in that sense, I enjoy the challenge of, I thought this was going to be easy and now it's not. I have to think of something new. But a lot of it's still just based on habits, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And just like you said, non-negotiable habits, like just things that have to be done in order for you to continue, even in the difficult times. And I've leaned on exercise, like you mentioned, as that like tool to try and help. But even in like really hard times, that has also, for me personally, gone to the side. And I'd have to like take a couple days or a week or, you know, even a month before I get back into that routine. But it's one of those, even if like it's a matter of just going on a hike with my wife.
Yeah.
Getting outside and going for a walk, like that to me is, you had said it before, I don't know, we were just talking and it was just, I forget who we were talking with, but okay. You mentioned it, but it's just sweating or 30 minutes minimum,
30 right
minutes
yeah
a day of doing something, and that
lose your breath
really stuck with me for some reason. It's just, that is what I try to do every day. It's just really try and get the heart rate up, even if it's for 30 minutes. So I walk for 45 minutes, but purposeful, not just a stroll. Because I see some people walking out there. It's like, you're not going to break a sweat.
Yeah. But it is better than sitting, I guess, right? So
exactly. Yeah.
And break it up. Break your exercise up, too. Because like a hard workout isn't going to, you know, prolong your life necessarily when you compare it to maybe a hard workout and then walking throughout the day. Take a walk at lunchtime.
Just in your elder age, I've been, you know, as people get older, those harder workouts are hard to recover from. So sometimes when people work out too hard, they don't want to work out the next day because they're really, really sore. But if you know, I've stopped trying to max out my reps. It's more just trying to, if I can do, say, 225, I'm going to try and do 185, way more reps, and really try and just kind of focus on just getting the heart rate up. I'm not trying to break new goals anymore. Really try to maintain this meat vehicle.
That ship has sailed. He's just trying to keep it going strong. No, I get that.
Exactly.
I do get that. That's what I was going to say. Another one I was just thinking about too. I try to do the hard crap early in the morning.
Okay.
Like get it out of the way. And it's not just so now it's out of the way, I don't have to worry about it, which is also a nice feeling when 2 o'clock runs around and you're like, I've done all the hard things already. But like, depending when you wake, it doesn't even matter what time you wake up. That's not relevant, but pick a time. 6 o'clock, is that like a standard early morning for most people?
Yeah.
Okay, so you wake up at 7 o'clock. And I guess the earlier you wake up, the easier it gets, I think, because there's less resistance. Whether it's wife, your cell phone, ringing, text messages, emails, that now is a good time to respond to, kids, whatever. But there's people and things that automatically become in the way of, you know, that alone time or progress the later it gets in the day.
Right.
Not in the way, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
So you wake up at 7, you might have a window to quickly do a couple things. And I think things that are hardest for us to do, that are considered a healthy part of a morning routine would be like reading. The more things, the later in the day it gets, the harder it is to carve out 30 or even 15 minutes to dedicate to reading undistracted. You might read a page and then beep, and then you're looking or whatever it is, right? In the morning, I'm doing things like that. Even if I only read one page, doesn't matter. It's just the fact that I've checked that off my list. I know if I get some more in later, cool. And if not, hey, I've done this. Obviously, exercise is a big thing. Meditation's a lot easier when there's no one calling your name. Cold shower. That's something that no one, well, I mean, maybe you like it, but it's not something that typically people like. And I don't do it because I want to be like, oh, I'm so strong. I just took a cold shower. Look at me. But it's like, this actually sucks. And I still think it's one of the most difficult things to do. It's one of the toughest things in my day, no matter what the day is. And I'm like, even if there are bigger challenges, though, in all seriousness, if I do that cold shower, and I mean like straight into cold, where it's like this, you have to psych yourself up. Like, this is so foolish. But once I do that, I'm like, well, I've already done the toughest thing that's going to happen in my day for the most part, right? So it just gives me, it feels like a mental edge. And it's not so I could tell someone, oh, I took a cold shower, I'm with those guys. It has nothing to do with that. It's literally just in my mind, I'm like, the rest of the day is easy. I've done this, which I didn't want to do. So anything else that comes up that I don't want to do, I know I could handle one way or the other. So that's kind of, I don't know if it's symbolic or if it's more than that, but that's one of those things as well. So I'm not trying to say you have to take a cold shower, but the point that I think matters is just doing some of the tougher things earlier in the day as it relates to your personal growth, at least.
Fair enough, yeah. That's wise words. Yeah, the cold shower, I think, in combination, because you probably shower after your intense exercising. I
sometimes
duo there that really, really.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you're already hot and sweating and you go straight to it, perfect. If you drive home and then you're sitting in the AC and then you have to do it, a lot tougher. So much tougher. It's painful.
Absolutely.
Try it.
I
sorry, not you. I was talking to everyone else. I was whatever the thing is, whatever you know that, I guess, whatever you feel the resistance that you know you should do but you don't want to do, just aim to do some of those or one of those things earlier in the day. I'm not an expert,
so. Is there anything left that you haven't tried, though, that, like, or any other, like, not hobbies, but just, like, interests that you haven't really dived into yet that, like, you have been considering in the last month or so? Or not even month, last year or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, some of the extreme sports, I think the ship has sailed. It would be tough to get into, but like climbing, there's something I've always wanted to do, backpacking and some variation of climbing. And the closest I come is hikes, but I would definitely love to get into that. And maybe I will just look at
so interesting
climbing.
You say
but
that. There's a documentary me and my wife watched called 14 Peaks.
I think I saw that a long time ago. Yeah.
It's really, really interesting just about guys, people that climb mountains. And this one particular gentleman wanted to break the record and climb all of the tallest mountains in the world in a short period of time. And just, I don't know why, but like we both enjoy hiking, you and I.
Yeah.
And, I really want to try and find some of those places in Canada.
True.
That are like not obviously on the level of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
just
I really want
challenge
to
yourself and
ascension to a cliff and be able to look off of that cliff knowing that I climbed up it.
Yeah.
That's one of the goals that me and my wife definitely have. We've done like baby hikes in comparison to
that.
What I think is going to be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess that's
really
part of it, right?
Really looking forward to that. Yeah.
Setting a goal, and that's just a goal, I guess, that we both share of something that sounds exciting but challenging.
I'll never rock climb.
Scary?
I see people do it. I don't really have that kind of desire. I would rather, in terms of extreme sport, I'd rather skydive. I don't know why I want to do that over rock climbing.
That was, that's something I definitely wanted to do. I don't know if I'm able to, but I would love to. It was on my list, and I put it off and then missed my window. Because remember, I had that back injury. And it was on my list for that particular birthday to do those two things. I wanted to skydive and donate plasma the same day. I don't know why, but it's just something. You know, you have those thoughts and like, that's something I want to do. So it was on my mind. It was on my list. And I kind of injured myself the year before that birthday and never got a chance. And then I was always too afraid to go back because I read a lot of I guess the landing does put some pressure on your low back, so It could.
Oh, really?
It could throw things off. So it seems like a bigger risk than it would have been now, back then.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I'd love to do that. That sounds...
It's kind of one of those, like, I don't know if I'm ever going to do it, but it's in my heart.
Yeah, it's like, why not just try those things that are in our hearts? We put so many things off, right? And to the point where it's like, well, yeah, I should have done it back then, kind of thing. Right, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. That ship has sailed.
Yeah. But why? Maybe for some of them. Don't be crazy. But I guess there's always levels before you get to that thing anyways. Skydiving might be a little different because I'm pretty sure you just sign up, go through the instruction, and then do it. But for most of the others, like climbing to the top of a mountain, you'll start with a smaller one. Maybe an escarpment, which you have pretty convenient, close by.
I've done that many times.
Right? Yeah. And then just build up from there. We never talked about this. I remember I mentioned a few weeks ago I was going to go shooting the guns. Pew.
Yeah, how did that go?
I should have brought my target, man.
I saw a video on Instagram.
That was a natural.
Yeah, you
were. It was really strange.
Oh, yeah, you sent me the video. No,
yes, right. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't. I'm not a man to post. Yeah, I'm not a man of the interwebs. I almost said the wrong one. Hopius dog. Listen, the gun shooting was one of those things where it's like you go try something, you don't really expect to have any, like, you're gonna mess up. You're kind of like, I just hope I don't embarrass myself is what I was thinking. Like,
I wanted to
hit the paper and I'm happy. But I was like, all my shots right off the bat were I hit the bullseye like 4 or 5 times. And they were all...
You're a marksman.
Yeah. And I was like, this is weird. I was almost embarrassed that I was hitting like that.
That good?
Because, you know, when someone, you go with someone, like, they're the one that has all the expertise. And then you're like, crap, I just showed the guy up. I should have let him go first or something. But, yeah, it was really good, man. And I loved it. It wasn't like, oh, this is cool. Like, should I say it? It doesn't matter. I'm thinking about getting registered anyways. I mean... No secret. Mess with me, I'm a bad man. I'll have a gun, so I will not shoot you, but I will tell you. Where is this going? Weird tangent was about to happen.
I'm interested to know what that feeling was like holding one for the first time.
Oh.
Really letting off that first shot. Like, there's a empowerment.
There is.
It's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
That you feel like, I've talked about this with other people, just like this rush you get of just... It's a Widowmaker, you know, and it's a deadly weapon.
It is,
that could change the course of not only the person you're aiming it at life, but your life as well.
Exactly.
And it's something I revere very, very deeply, and just the importance of respecting the weapon and the gun and respecting just, you know, the responsibility of having that
that's the word,
in
yeah.
your possession is... really important. It was really profound to me. So I was wondering if you had a similar experience.
I did, actually. Yeah, it was same thing. Like, it was empowering for sure. And it made me wonder so many things all at once. Like, when I first held it, when I first aimed it and shot it and realized, because obviously depending on the gun, there might be some pushback and there might not be.
Kickback.
Yep. But yeah, the responsibility, huge, and like just feeling empowered with this thing. And then you kind of just, and then you think about TV and movies, and it actually made me realize, I was like, that's why on the news when they're like 17 shots were fired, and I'm talking like some street kid or whatever, you're like, why did it take so many shots? Because the guy never went to the range. He doesn't know how to shoot the gun.
Right.
You can't just aim it like it's some movie. That's foolishness. Yeah. You're going to be all over the place. I was like, you have to be so intentional with your... Maybe if you get more experience, then yes. But I always used to wonder. I was like,
most experienced people don't shoot guns the way
you do
in TV, movies, or in the street videos.
It's just, it's not that. It's not that. So yeah, when I realized that that's what's happening, because I don't know if it's ever crossed your mind, but they'd be like 2 shooters, 18 casings were found.
100%.
And the victim was hit once. And I'm like... What? So they're just like
because
wild.
They don't realize what it actually takes to aim that gun, and they're not taking into consideration, like you'd mentioned,
the kickback.
Yeah. There's gonna be a kickback when that bullet goes off.
Yeah.
I was curious to know what your experience
was. Yeah, it was cool, man. I had a couple favorites, and then there were some that were, like, the kickback was incredible on a couple.
Yeah. Like, I think, like, going back to TV and movies, you take for granted how heavy, like, a Desert Eagle, for example, is. And you're just like, how are they doing it sideways? And, like, you know, like, all this. It's like, come on. What
kind of shoulder raises have you been doing in your
Desert Eagle?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
And maybe there's something there. Maybe Hollywood was on to something by not teaching idiots how to aim their guns when it comes down to it. But
would you ever go hunting now? Like, is hunting now something?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I get it more. I don't know, man. Even when, like, I'd have to say if I'm going to eat it, yeah.
Right.
Because that was the thing. Even with fishing, I was like, if you're not going to eat the fish, then obviously you put it back. But
or provide food for somebody.
For somebody, yeah. But if it's just like catch it, kill it, now we're done, kind of feel bad about that, man.
Stuff.
So
yeah,
so I mean, if this is a situation, and I guess that's where we came from, like, we were killing our own food, it was just a part of life. But yeah, if it's for that reason, no doubt.
Yeah,
otherwise I don't know if I could do it, man.
I'm with you, and I wouldn't do it unless it was for the sole purpose of either survival in terms of something is threatening my life, or to eat, you know, like, so just, there's only a few animals that I would really go out of my way to kind of hunt.
Yeah.
I know that, like, in certain places, pig, for example, wild pig, you can hunt down in Texas as much as you want, and that would be a good source of food for either myself or for others.
Get me some bacon.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. Elk, I've heard great things, and I've tried elk once, and it was delicious.
Yeah.
So I would kill and hold elk knowing that I could have, you know, food for months, delicious steaks, and
fair enough,
other things, but like a moose I wouldn't kill. Maybe deer, because people eat venison, and I haven't had it
either, actually,
often, but I wouldn't be opposed to that. But there are certain things, and fishing, even though I'm not a big fish guy, I could provide food for the family.
That's true.
So, to me, that's a noble pursuit.
Earn your keep. No, that's true. Yeah, I'm with you on that. But just the power of, obviously not for the purpose of taking a life, but just if we were, the world's going crazy. So if you were put in a situation, there are some survival skills that, you know, survival of the fittest, it's going to be necessary, would be necessary. And if it's me against a guy with a gun and I'm, you know, fists up, I'm not too confident that I could protect my people that way, outside of some clever reasoning. But I say all that to say that I would love to go hunting just for the experience. Maybe not shooting an animal, but just it would be terrifying because, you know, you're there 3 a.m., 4 a.m., it's pitch black. And from what it sounds like, these guys are usually splitting up and alone. So just that part alone, knowing that you do have a weapon that you could use to protect yourself, push comes to shove, but maybe not just to shoot whatever I see. I think that part that's something I want to do for sure. Scared to death just thinking about it. Like, you go on a boat and get dropped off.
Right.
See you guys in 5 hours.
Yeah.
It's a little scary.
See ya, hopefully. And like some of the stories I've heard or seen, just like a bear encounter or like a mountain lion encounter.
Oh, God.
Like those things are what terrify me about the hunting. It's not so much hunting but it's those predators that are out there in the forest.
Yeah. So in that case, if you need to shoot a bear to stay alive, then
weary of going out by myself hunting.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do partners or something first. You might want to partner with someone experienced just to start it off. So.
Yeah. Definitely be group, and I'd definitely like to go with someone experienced. Yeah.
Well, luckily, you know a bunch of those, so we could set that up anytime, I'm sure. Yeah, that was but yeah, I'm gonna do the gun license for sure.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Congrats. I'm glad. That's a great experience, and I can't wait to hear more. I think slowly but surely you're gonna become a mountain man, and the cardigans are gonna get replaced with, you know, button ups and bolo and vests.
I don't understand, but I have this
hat.
And you probably saw it, I don't know at what point. We've done so many things in our lives together, but I have this thing that people don't usually see in me. And it's just, I love being outside and like in remote places and just doing those things that maybe don't, I don't know where they sit in my personality, but people are usually surprised when I tell them that. But yeah, it's like a deep, yeah, deep love.
If I didn't
love.
Know you personally, I would never have guessed it, but I just knowing you as long as I've known you, and it could definitely throw a person that doesn't know you for a loop that you're just like really into the outdoors.
Love it, man.
Maybe just because you're such a kept man, and it's hard to believe that
it's true.
Are so metro.
Yeah.
Also embrace the country life.
Man, yeah. Like if you said you're going to the cottage this weekend, I'd be like, I'll figure it out. I'll be there. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
They're going. I don't get to go, but every Thanksgiving they go.
Oh, is that like a, that would be nice, man.
Yeah, it's really nice. I get jealous a lot when they go.
Jeez.
But they go every Thanksgiving. But it's like the whole family. Like,
yeah, so it's a big ordeal.
And sisters and their
they just pack people in there, eh?
Yeah, and I don't mind it. It's always fun. It's always a cool vibe, and it's not like luxurious. It's just
no. That's what it's so down to earth. It's like what you would picture when you think of like rustic cabin cottage, but with enough space to sleep. I don't know, 15 more probably.
It depends on how like
how close you want to get to people.
Even if you had cots, yeah.
Yeah.
Cots in that one room, you could probably sleep 8 in there.
Yeah, yeah. Dope, man. Yeah, just keep it simple. Back to nature. What happened? You want to go?
Yeah. Yeah, now I have.
I know. Once you start thinking about it, it's like, yeah, it's a nice place. But that's, I guess, the point of today was just keeping it simple, getting back to some of the things that we get busy and overlook, pushing yourself. Without the motivation of others, which gets in the way of your true self often, I think. And yeah, just remember also, like we always say, just be kind and consider others and consider others' perspectives, because at the end of the day, we're all just trying to do our best, I hope, and not everyone sees things the same way as you do. Easy to
That's
say till the guy cuts you off in traffic and then you lose all that for a quick second.
yeah, exactly. That goes all out the window. Do your best. Fall down 8 times, get up 9, right?
Yeah, be kind, and if you're not sure you missed anything, then rewind. Boom, boom. Oh,
boom.
Over your head.
Love you, bro. Until next time.
Be kind, rewind is a movie. Yeah.
Be kind and rewind. I'll talk to you again.
Love you, man.
Peace and love. Love you too, bro.
All day.
Okay, see, and then you just have to take it up a notch.